Jason Herry, Director of Equity Strategies and Portfolio Manager for Johnson Financial Group, is here. We're talking funds and ETFs, and this is the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that determines what they're buying and selling, what they see happening broadly on the market today, and how they put it all together. Joining me again today, Jason Herry. He is Director of Research and Portfolio Manager for Johnson Financial Group, which you can learn about by just knowing the name, johnsonfinancialgroup.com. That will get you to their website. There's a lot more information for you there. Jason Herry, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Good to be back.
Guests on Money Life, join me on the GameBridge hotline. Are you searching for flexibility in your annuity products? Starting in the second year of your annuity contract, you may withdraw up to 10% of your account value each year without penalty. It's another way GameBridge puts you in control of your financial future. Gain access, gain control, GameBridge. Visit GameBridge.life to get started. Jason, we are living through market times that make people want to try to figure out what they're doing, what they can move to, etc. But in the fund and ETF space, typically less is more. It's kind of like you build a portfolio, you ride with it, and you maybe go around the edges. So tell us what it is that you look for, and then how you're putting that to work now, and how active you're recommending people be in these conditions.
No, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. And I think for most investors, having that long-term approach is the most appropriate. Within our methodology, we focus on investing to achieve long-term goals, and we use relative value as part of that process. Over the short run, that isn't very helpful. You know, expensive stocks can stay expensive for a long time, and cheap stocks can also stay cheap for a long time. But over the long run, those kind of things do work out. Within our process, we're focused on asset allocation first. Think of that as your own internal investment policy statement. What am I trying to achieve, and what's that mix of stocks and bonds and other things to get you there? And then within that, which is what we'll dig into, you know, what are we doing to allocate the capital within equities or within fixed income? And then ultimately it comes down to selecting the right managers or strategies to implement that view. As we're looking at it today, it is a very challenging time within the business cycle. It's been about 30 years since we've had inflation at these kind of levels, and it puts the Federal Reserve in a bit of a box. Normally with growth slowing, you know, as we normalize after the pandemic, the Federal Reserve would probably be beginning to pause their interest rate hiking cycle. Well, they're stuck now. They have inflation. It came about because of that big boom coming out of the pandemic and all the stimulus, and then add in supply chain constraints and the Russia-Ukraine war, and we're in a difficult environment. And that's why you're seeing every day, every week, you know, you're up and everyone's bullish for 1 week, and then the next week you give it all back. And we think that's going to last, you know, probably over the next few months or even few quarters. But as investors, we know, you know, we're not investing for 6 months. We're investing for 6 years, 16 years, you know, or even longer. So those are the things we're focused on now.
In terms of how that plays out in portfolios, before we get down to brass tacks with the kinds of funds you're buying, does it mean that for most people it's core and explore and you're exploring different things? Does it mean, you know, we try to say, let's have a little bit on the edges where we can do better? Or is it ignore it? Like, it doesn't make a difference that 10 of the 11 sectors have been down in the first half of the year, S&P sectors I'm talking about. You know, let's not do too much tilting towards the one, and let's not worry about finding a safe haven. Let's just say we built this portfolio for everything, including this.
There should be a little bit of everything in your portfolio. And then the way we approach the portfolio construction part is to, I think the core and explore is a good term, where the majority of your money is around that core. And then what we do is we use the business cycle and some of that outlook for the market cycle to give us some hints as to where do we want a little more money, where do we want a little less, do we want to have a little more speculation in the portfolio or a little less. So where we are today in the business cycle is slowing economic growth, rising inflation. So what we've seen is really the only sector that's up year to date is the energy sector. But other areas, you know, have done better, like utilities, consumer staples, healthcare, that have more stable businesses. So, you know, we'll get into the details, but those are the areas that you need to think about having exposure to. But a lot of that we think is priced into the market. From a market cycle, we also need to remember that once we feel it into the economy and when we feel it in our lives, the stock market or the bond market has typically already priced it in. So just when you're at the point of being most nervous, it's probably around the time that markets bottom. But unfortunately, we don't know where that point is when the markets have overpriced in all of these risks that are in the headlines every day, whether it's around inflation or interest rates, or maybe there's a recession, or, you know, is Russia going to turn the gas pipeline on back to Germany? All of those are real risks, and they will drive markets day to day. But when we look out 2 years from now, after periods of significant negative sentiment, you tend to have positive returns. I mean, historically, when sentiment is this low, about 85% of the time, you end up with positive returns over the next 12 to 18 months. And those returns are in the 10 to 20% range. So we would suggest don't try to get too cute in what you're doing, but do something. And if you have cash that is meant to be in the market, now's the time to, you know, use those down days to buy in, but you be a little patient on the big up days, because we think over the next couple months, we'll get some of each.
So let's talk about funds that meet your requirements. What are you looking for in funds that you can be buying now? And what's maybe a fund or two that fits the bill?
When you have this much uncertainty, we think it's important to avoid the extremes. So that means you still want active managers. We, you know, we believe in research and active managers, as well as using index funds for part of that core. But one of those is the American Beacon London Company. So this is a manager that focuses on what I would just call generically quality. So they're looking for companies with strong returns on capital, high free cash flow, not excessive debt, and they try to buy them right. So when you have those type of companies, you know, they don't fall 70%. You know, they're going to fall with the market, but typically it's less than the market. So this is a strategy that's down about 15% year to date, you know, compared to about 20% for the broad market. So it's doing its job. It's not going to outperform in a big up bull market, but for those investors and for kind of how we're moving portfolios of trying to eliminate the extremes of very cyclical strategies or very speculative, this is the kind of manager that we think is going to make a lot of sense over the next 12 months or longer. And as a manager, you can just kind of buy and hold for the long run as part of that core.
What makes you sell a fund?
So we sell funds based on kind of two pieces. And I have two different examples of that that I think would be good lessons for your listeners that we've done in the last 6 months. So one would be based on the business cycle. So we talked about the London company as being a strategy that has more quality, less cyclical, more defensible businesses. So one of the strategies that we sold that, you know, we really like the management team, but it's the Dodge and Cox stock fund. So this is one that I think many of your listeners might have experience with or exposure to, but they tend to avoid the utility sector, the staples sector. They're focused on value, but sometimes that value leads them into more economically sensitive types of stocks or into the financial sector, which when you have a downturn, there could be more loan defaults, so they may not perform as well. So there's that business cycle aspect. When the economy slows, we want to take profits in those managers like the Dodge and Cox Stock Fund that had a great about 3-4 year run, you know, one of the top in the category. And as much as you love seeing it go up every day, the discipline is rebalance, and you sell what's worked and you gravitate back into what you think is going to be put you in the best position for the next 12 months. The other area is a little bit more in that speculative side, and where you have to be a little bit careful whenever you own an active manager that you just put it in the drawer and hold it forever. The T. Rowe Price Growth Stock Fund is a manager that has been able to participate to a large degree in this 10-year plus bull market in technology stocks. Now, they benefited from growth in companies like Amazon and Microsoft and Alphabet and other disruptive technologies. But eventually you get to the point where everyone owns these. So when investors want to move in a different direction, for example, you know, moving towards something more conservative, there's no one left to buy, or at least not to buy aggressively. So we think if you have exposure to those more speculative growth type strategies, when we get these 5 or 10% kind of bear market rallies in here, this is the time to trim a little bit, make sure you don't have too much exposure. It's okay to still have some because, you know, there are periods when this type of strategy works, but we think it's a time to trim in that area. One of the areas that we've bought with that trim of T. Rowe Price growth stock is a unique manager. They're just kind of coming up on a 5-year track record, is the Artisan Focus Fund. So like the London Company, these are both names that you may not be as familiar with, but their sub-advisor is the Antero Peak Group. This is a group of managers, only manage about $3 billion, which is a lot of money, of course, but by comparison, you know, to many other mutual funds, it's not that large. And they have a hedge fund background. So they do implement some of this business cycle approach. And more importantly, they spend a lot of time focused on risk management. So what are the different things that are driving my portfolio as opposed to just company by company that I want to own this for the next 10 years to take advantage of the secular growth? So it's a strategy that is a little closer to the core that we think is a good spot to rotate some of those speculative growth over into less speculative growth. So that's the Artisan Focus Fund.
Yeah, that is ticker symbol ARTTX. Now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some funds and ETFs my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
I've got a good feeling about this.
Well, you should have a good feeling about what you are hearing from Jason Herried. He's the Director of Equity Strategies, Portfolio Manager for Johnson Financial Group. JohnsonFinancialGroup.com, the website for more information. You know how quick and dirty works, so we're going to jump right in, and we're going to start broadly, and then we'll go towards some more specialized funds. Richard in Chula Vista, California, wants to know about Vanguard Equity Income. That's VEIPX.
This is kind of like that London Company strategy that we were talking about. More disciplined, a little focused on income, a great part of a core portfolio. The yield is up a little over 2.5%, a low expense ratio. So we think this is the kind of strategy that is perfect for this kind of environment. The only catch to watch out for is that they have had a manager change on the sleeve, but there's a lot of depth within that manager. So, you know, we're comfortable at this point of continuing with the Vanguard Equity Income Fund.
It's a buy.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
On VEIPX, Vanguard Equity Income. Dale in London, Ohio wants to know about the Lord Abbett Floating Rate Fund. It's LFRAX, floating rates in a rising rate environment.
It's been great up to this point. If you have a fixed rate bond, it tends to go down in value when interest rates move higher. Floating rate bonds adjust with interest rates. The downside is, though, especially if you're worried about a recession, this type of strategy takes more credit risk. So they're taking more risk in the type of borrower. So this is kind of like high yield bonds, sort of. So this is an area that we have moved away from. So we think you should sell this kind of a strategy. It's benefited you and your bond portfolio from the floating rate piece, but we don't think it's worthwhile, considering the risks of recession, of taking on that credit risk.
That makes it a sell on LFRAX, the Lord Abbett Floating Income Fund.
Don't get greedy.
Tom in San Francisco wants to know about VanEck Vector's BDC Income. That's ticker symbol BizD.
So for those of you that are income lovers, a 9.7% yield looks great. And if you can plug your nose and close your eyes through the volatility, this is a very good strategy. But what BDCs are is essentially a loan fund. Sometimes they're into the private markets, sometimes they're public, but they act with a lot of volatility. So if you're just trying to drive income, it looks great. But if you're worried more about risk, we would step away at this point. The other little tip within the BDC space is the largest BDCs within this fund tend to be the highest quality. So you might even go fishing within the holdings of the BDC, this kind of broad basket of BDCs, to go into the specifics. So that's a little tip from the pros.
Relative to everybody else in the industry, we talk about closed-end funds and BDCs a lot on this show. My audience is very familiar with them, and they might go shopping on their own. But if they want to kind of do it in one lump sum...
Whoa, dumber than advertised.
VanEck Vector's BDC Income, BizD, was a sell and avoid. Tony in Henderson, Nevada wants to know about the iShares Biotechnology ETF. That's IBB.
Biotech stocks have been out of favor for about the last 1.5 to 2 years. It had a little bump around the pandemic, but then has sold off as investor interest has kind of waned and gone into other areas like crypto. But it seems to be coming back. I mean, it was sparked by an acquisition announced by Merck to buy another drug maker. So this is one that we think is going to come back on the radar of many investors. So if you don't have exposure to biotechnology, we think this is a little bit in that explore category, where you might think about adding a couple percent into that speculative bucket, because biotech has been down for a while and now looks like it might be ready to come back into favor.
I say, what the hell? I'm already a rich man.
Well, if you're already a rich man, you can afford a more speculative buy. And that's what we just had on the IBB, the iShares Biotechnology ETF. And last, another for Richard in Chula Vista, California, it's Cyber, C-I-B-R, the First Trust NASDAQ Cybersecurity ETF.
And this is one for long-term investors that like theme-based ETFs. We think this is a great industry. So cybersecurity, we all know how much data is on the internet, and this is a basket of companies that gets you there. It avoids trying to pick winners and losers because we know how fast technology can change. So it's a great way to get there. It's also a little bit of a hedge, considering the risks with kind of China tensions and Russia-Ukraine war. It is an area that investors sometimes go to when there are large-scale news of security breaches. So it's a little bit of a portfolio hedge as well as a long-term theme. So we like it.
Sounds like the opportunity of a lifetime.
Well, it's an opportunity. Whether it's the one of the lifetime, you'll have to see. But for a couple of interesting reasons, Cyber, C-I-B-R, First Trust NASDAQ Cybersecurity, was a buy. And we have one more goodbye to talk about. It's where we say goodbye to Jason Harry. But Jason, always great to chat with you. Thanks so much. Let's do this again down the line.
All right. Sounds great. Take care, everyone.
Jason Harried is Director of Equity Strategies at Johnson Financial Group. JohnsonFinancialGroup.com, at Johnson Bank on Twitter. And we'll be right back.